Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love. And our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we were talking about churches that have joined the contemporary worship movement and the lack of young people going into the ministry because of it. Let's continue with that subject today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Quit emulating the world, trying to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. No, why not emulate Christ? You know, he told us to put off the old man, put off that old world. As a matter of fact, even in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, he said, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust. In other words, don't take the sin of this world, the way this world is, and try to fashion it to look like it's all right because you've put some Bible words to it, or you've used Jesus' name with it. Can you imagine somebody going to a brothel and saying, oh, well, thank you, Lord, that you've provided this for me? Can you imagine somebody taking all these drugs, fentanyl, and things of that nature and saying, well, thank you, Lord, for providing those for me? No, that would be utter blasphemy. And so, friend, I think the problem today in the church is that there are a lot of those, even in fundamental churches, that are toning down contemporary, but nonetheless keeping contemporary, because it's going to keep our kids. Oh, yeah, that's going to keep them. That's the idea behind it. Well, my friend, toning down contemporary is still fashioning yourself according to the former lust. It is fashioning yourself according to this world. That's the idea in the word emulations. Look that up in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't speak for it. It speaks against it, folks. It speaks against it. Now, there are people who think, well, we're going to win more. Look at the crowd we've gotten with young people and young adults and so forth. You know, I'm on a mission board, and I can remember when we had a whole lot more missionaries coming in from the colleges and churches where they had been saved and all that growing up. But now, it's getting less and less, and a lot of those go on the mission field. After a while, they're changing their ministry. Well, you know, we're coming back. We feel like God has led us back. Or it's, well, God has given us a new ministry. It just happens to be back there. But, you know, this is hard. It was kind of hard to overcome. And so we felt like we want to be more effective for Jesus Christ. That is just lying to yourself and hoping people will agree with you. So, my question comes back. You were involved in a bus ministry. Maybe you taught Sunday school. Maybe you sang in a choir. Maybe you played an instrument in the church. You visited the hospitals. You were faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why did you quit? More importantly, when are you going to get back to doing right? You say, well, you know, I got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. Okay. You can't do it anymore, so I guess now you're useless for God, so why don't you just ask God to go ahead and take you home? I'm only 30. Okay, you're only 30. If you think you're getting too old to do that stuff anymore, then I would seek God's face, say, Lord, you got something different for me to do in your work. I still want to serve you. Please use me. Please use me. Don't you know that your service for the Lord, and especially in obedience to His word, and we even said some of those things like tithing and faithfulness to God's house, witnessing, and on we could go, giving to missions, all those things. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, not acceptable by our standards, but by His standards. And it's only our reasonable service. And so, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So those are the standards. And so I ask you again, why have you quit? And why aren't you going back or getting involved where God would have you involved? Not something that entertains you, not something that makes you feel good, but something that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt is God's call and he wants you to do it. Look, I have a gentleman in my church. His name is Brother Sutton. Brother Sutton is one of our deacons. This man, he was born with some birth defects, and it centered around his heart. He said to have heart, lung transplant. But before all that happened, he was working in our children's church. He was pastoring our children's church. All this come upon him. Guess what? He's recovered from the transplant. All it takes there, and yes, that takes some time. But he's back pastoring children's church once again. So the Lord interrupted in his ministry for a while, but he didn't call him to quit. He was willing to do whatever God had him to do. He remained our deacon, and he's still a deacon. He's the chairman of my deacon board, as a matter of fact, at this time as I speak. So I'm just saying, if you quit, why did you quit? Do you have a Bible reason? Is there a reason God led you out of that one thing and into another ministry? And Lot quit, and they're not in another ministry. I remember being in Arizona. I basically argued with God from the month of May to the 1st of August. So think of that, May, June, July. So at least 3 months I argued with God. Simply, I got to where I was fasting. I was going on long walks into the desert and carrying my Bible and finding places to stop and pray and just say, Lord, this is not right. We've had a lot of people saved here, and they're new Christians, and we're trying to plant a church here, and we've got about 30-some have received Christ, and it's been less than a year, and we've got others that just got here. And so here we have all these people. We've got about 35 members already, and we've had high days of over 60, and it's been in less than a year. And so, Lord, it's going great. Why would you take me away from all these new Christians? Why would you do this? But that was my mind. And I went about those 3 months, and finally I realized, no, the Lord wanted me to go back here where I am now. I'd been called to come back. They'd voted on me, and I was just putting it off. No, no, no. And then finally I gave the call. Okay, I know God has called me. And that moment I said, I know God's called me. I'm coming back. I didn't understand it because I was concerned about those people. Love them. But nonetheless, it was almost like a heavy 300-pound weight being lifted off my shoulders. And I could not believe how much that was. And so that was part of the thing. And I found out in the 2 years after I was gone, within 2 years after I was gone, most all of those people, those that we'd led to the Lord and others, they had already moved away from where we were there in the state of Arizona, had moved to other places. And so had I stayed there, they would have moved, gone, and it wouldn't have been good because I would have, at that point, been outside the will of God. Well, God worked. God works for us when we do his will, his way, and in his timing. Got to be in his timing. Now, I'll be frank with you. When I first come back to where I'm pastoring now, I saw things that I thought, oh, Lord, you made a mistake. You know, we want to blame the Lord. Lord, and I saw things that, I was about in tears the first Wednesday night I was here, walking around, looking at the ministries going on, and you know what? Lord made me realize that there were some things that needed to be changed, and they were changed, and God was able to use me to do that, and he wanted somebody that would come and not quit. And that's pretty well what our life should be. We don't quit until the Lord calls us out to do something, or he calls us out of this life. Don't quit. Just keep on keeping on. I don't want to use myself as that example. I have here over these last few minutes, but really, I am not the example. Jesus Christ is our example, and the one that had the power and the over hell and death. He has the keys of hell and death. Could have come off the cross at any time. He could have had all those people surrounding him struck dead. But his mission was to fulfill the payment of our penalty. Now, so why did you quit? And are you going to get back? Do you know what God have you be doing right now? Because you're living, you're breathing, you're alive. God, you're one of his children. You're saved. God has something for you to do. We are his workmanship, as Ephesians 2:10 says. Now, that verse follows verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those are verses 8 and 9. Then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath beforeordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God has a specific will for you. Now, you'd say, well, my pastor has a specific will. Of course, yeah. And an evangelist has a specific will. A missionary has a specific will. That's right. But understand, because you don't have those positions doesn't mean not a specific will for your life. God has a specific will for you even right now as a layperson in serving God, serving him. And since Jesus Christ himself, the Almighty, established the local church, it was his call, his way of putting it out for us in this age, in this era, in this day that we call the day of grace, but it's the day of the local church. It's the day of Christ in that it is a day that we are to be serving him and sharing that gospel with the lost and dying world on a daily basis. That's why you should always have tracts with you, salvation tracts. And by the way, let me just encourage you to do this. Read any salvation tract you pick up. You say, well, boy, that cover looks nice. But read it. Make sure it has it down correctly. Make sure it's calling repentance and faith. Make sure it's leading in a prayer of salvation after it clearly describes a plan of salvation. And so you go out and you hand those out. Yeah, well, I've seen people throw them down on the ground. Well, maybe you ought to think of it this way. I've seen people at church get up and walk out because they didn't like the sermon, or they just didn't like the people, they didn't like whatever. Well, if that's the case, then are they right? Should you not have church because people didn't like your church, or they didn't like your preacher, they didn't like your music, they didn't like your whatever? No. You keep on doing God's will, God's way, regardless of how people react. Where here's a witness. So be careful to maintain those good works. So now this is imperative here as we're looking in verse 8. It's imperative that you as a Christian, each of us as a Christian, individually, be careful to maintain good works. So why did you quit the bus ministry?
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.